GoodSuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. Thank you because you've planned to visit everyone, and I know that no one is going to remain the same again. Father, I ask that you visit everyone, transform everyone, change everyone's story, every single one today. Let them be blessed. Let everyone be blessed, beginning from me and everyone. Send us your word, O God, and let it not be as usual, but Lord, make it a different one that goes into our spirits to empower us to also do what you've commanded us to do. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains creating meaningful success, how to live on purpose, even when it does not make sense. How many of us have ever been in situations that really doesn't make sense for you to want to please God or want to think about purpose? You're just like, see, all I need right now is to be able to feed myself or my family. I've been there before. I don't know how many of us have ever been there before. You know, you were in that situation and you felt like, see, don't even talk to me about destiny. Don't talk to me about purpose. I just need to survive right now. You are tempted to actually think that. You are tempted to go towards that direction. But you know what? You can be tempted, but if you succumb to it and you really want to go that length, it will be because we have lost sight of what purpose really is for, what destiny is all about, what God's calling is all about. It's because we have lost sight of it. And today, God wants to actually bring us to that place where we actually review things to understand what we should focus on, what we should make our reality, what we should make the most important thing in our life. So that is exactly what this teaching is all about, creating meaningful success, which means some success can actually be meaningless. Some success can end up not having the kind of meaning we really want it to have. That is just the meaning. So how do we create meaningful success? But before we go on today, let's understand that the focus today is really to look at how to live on purpose, even when it does not make sense. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like what you should do. And I will give you a good example. If you look at the life of Paul in the Bible, if you look at the situation, it really doesn't make sense for someone like that to be living on purpose, to still be pleasing God, to still be doing all the things. See, you remember this same Paul and Silas, they were in prison and God opened the prison gates and they were free. But at the time, those things did not happen. He was consistently being in prison. In fact, did you know that most of the Bible that we read today were actually written from prison? That means he was in prison while he was writing all the letters. But nothing stopped in his life. He was still strong. He was still the same Paul. He was still the same dependable Paul to God. So the question to you and I is this. Even when we go through challenges, are we going to forget the real thing? All those revelations you had. You know, revelation is sweet when everything is rosy. But when everything is not rosy again, that's when you know whether you have any form of revelation or not. So, Paul was consistently living on purpose, even when it didn't make sense to do so. We have a few scriptures today, but before we focus on them, I want us to actually look at other things. Paul, like I said, is a perfect example of a man who lived on purpose. We need to actually understand by asking what my real purpose is. What your real purpose is. What is my real purpose? Why should I keep living life? See, I don't know if you've gotten to the situation before in life that you are like, see, all this grammar that people are speaking, I'm not interested. I just want my life to make sense. I just want my life to make meaning. I just want to be able to make a name. I just want to be able to say, okay, he's also a man. You know, I don't know if you've seen it before, maybe in movies or in situations, that they are counting people and then they just skip through some people and go to the important people. They call them VIP. There's a reason they call them VIP. Because they seem to count. They seem to count more than other people. But you know what? God has made you and I his own VIP. He said we are kings and priests, that no matter what happens, don't lose sight of who God has called you. Remember, we did a series sometimes ago, and I mentioned, of course, God told us that when you go through challenges, when you go through situations, the situations or the challenges, that's not the main focus. The devil is not interested in those things. He's interested in what you become after you go through those situations. Are you still going to keep trusting God, or you're going to change your mind? Are you going to keep struggling and hustling instead of living on purpose and trying to please God? What is going to happen after you've gone through the challenge, after you've gone through the ordeal, after you've gone through the situation? Will you still remain the same brother, whatever your name is, or sister, whatever your name is? Will you still remain that same person on fire for God, even when nothing around you seems to prove that God is alive and walking with you? That's the question for you and I today. Will you keep living on purpose even when it doesn't make sense? So how do we start? How do we keep ourselves active, living on purpose, even when it seems not to make sense? Number one, start by asking what your real purpose is. You know, we seem to be carried away sometimes by maybe motivational speakers who seem to confuse us. You know, there was a time all these motivational speakers, they were very much in vogue, and everybody was following them. They twisted scriptures a little. They learned these things from the Bible. And then they twisted and twisted and twisted until they took God out of the picture. But what is the real purpose? You know, there's something that I think I read in Rick Warren's book, that's the purpose-driven life. Yeah, the purpose-driven life. Then he also has the purpose-driven church. See, I think he wrote something there that, why on earth are you here for heaven's sake? You know, sometimes you say things like that why on earth is this thing here? Or for heaven's sake, or for God's sake, why is this happening? So he combined those two statements and he made us realize that, hey, you've always been defining our purpose all the while. If you combine those two statements, that means, why on earth are you here for heaven's sake? You have actually defined why we're here. You have defined our purpose. We are here on earth for heaven's sake. That is your purpose. You don't need any fasting. You don't need any waiting on God to know your real purpose. Of course, there are other things you pray for, but your real purpose is to be on earth for heaven's sake, to please God, to bring about the establishment of the kingdom of God. That is the real purpose that you and I have. Yes, we can talk about destiny, your mission, but every of those things we talk about, your assignment, your mission, your vision, all those things, it's for one purpose, and that purpose is for heaven's sake, for you to help build the kingdom of God here on earth. That is the reason. Anything apart from that is out of God's plan. So how do I now know what my purpose is, or my mission and all that? See, what is your mission and vision or purpose, and what is it not? Number one, how do I know if my destiny, my mission, my assignment is really a real one? How do I know if it's the real deal? How do I know if I'm not just leading myself and assuming or having ambition instead of God's driven vision? How do I know that? Number one, it's never going to be about you. Now, look at your purpose. Every gift that God has given you, you know, what you call your purpose, your assignment, your dream, your vision, if it's about you, then it's not from God. Then it's not in alignment with God. It's never going to be about you. It's going to bring blessings to you. It's going to bring profit to you and I. But it's not about you and I. It's never going to be about you and I. And what I mean by that is this. It's going to be about you helping people, being a blessing to people, changing lives. So if you want to tweak your assignment, your purpose, your vision, if it doesn't fall in this definition that it's to help people or to make lives better for people or to transform people, to bring people to the kingdom of God and all that, if you cannot redefine it to mean that, then it means something is wrong that we need to really fix. Number two, your mission is always about others, which I've also mentioned. It's always about other people, not about you. It's not about you, it's about other people. Then number three, it will bring glory to God. Remember when we always define the good success. Your vision, your mission, your destiny in life will always bring glory to God. So if you look at the job you are pursuing, your business you are pursuing, and it's not bringing glory to God, then it's already out of place, which means we need to retrace back our steps. Then number four, it will bring others to see the Jesus in you. How do I have meaningful success? If the success I have does not make other people see that there is Jesus in me, then something is wrong. If I have all the money in the world, all the success in the world, built the best business, have all the cars and all these things, and it doesn't bring people to see Jesus in me, then something is wrong that we need to really fix quickly. Then number five, its goal is to promote God's kingdom agenda. Your vision, your purpose in life will promote God's kingdom agenda. See, for most of us, when you got that promotion, it's to get you closer to somebody in that level, at that level in your organization, that no other person can talk to about Jesus except you, because you have that proximity advantage. That is the advantage. So for many of us, because we are not in that level yet, you can't preach to any president. You can't even get close. But imagine if you are the richest person in your country and president are actually calling for you or coming to see you. You already have proximity advantage. You can preach to them. That is the purpose. All the money is not for you to be enjoying. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy, but that's not the purpose. It's just your, they call it the fringe benefits. You are the conduit. I am the conduit. So it means all these blessings, they are just passing through you, making you wet at the same time. But it's not really for you. It's not for me. It's for promoting the kingdom of God. And I remember some times ago when I was in school, we had this retreat, and by privilege, I was made to lead it. And then the title was 90 Degrees, Making Maximum Impact. The definition that I got to understand then is this. See, it will make life easier for you and I if we always define everything about us with this formula. How many of us remember what 90 degrees is? You know, when you draw 90 degrees, it means there's a line that goes up vertically. There's another line that goes up horizontally. That is 90 degrees. Which means, in this context, it means that everything you do, and you are the one, the point at which both of the lines meet. You know, it means the line going up is saying that, hey, everything happening here is giving glory to God. It's bringing glory to God. Everything happening in your life and in my life brings glory to God. That's upwards. That arrow, just imagine an arrow going up. And then imagine another arrow going horizontally. It's saying that line is visiting other people. Other people are being impacted. You can see it's always 90 degrees. And eventually, this 90 degrees will become 360 degrees. It means you are having all-round impact. The more the people you are affecting, you are blessing them. They are becoming blessed. So if I define my life by 90 degrees, I will ask a question every time I want to take a decision. Every time I think something is from God, I will just verify it by using the word 90 degrees. This decision, this action I want to take, will it bring glory to God? Will it benefit other people? And that is good success. If it brings glory to God and it benefits other people, then good success is being defined there. Then I'm living a life of purpose. What crosses your mind and my mind when I think about my calling, about my purpose, about my business, about my job? What crosses my mind? Most times, you know, we are always tempted to think about that new car we want to buy, that new house, that new whatever it is that we want to buy for ourselves. But you know, that's where we are getting it wrong, because the first thing that should cross our mind is, how will this be a blessing to other people? How will this bring glory to God? How will it build the kingdom of God? When we think about that, God will trust us more to give us more. Remember the parable of the talents. When God gave them those talents each, when that master came back, he didn't say, you traded 5 talents, you got 5 more. Now, let me give you 20. No, he gave him cities. Can you see that promotion? That is how God promotes. And that is why, if you look at your life, if you are genuinely living your life according to God, you will see that there were spikes at different moments of your life. There was just this massive change that you cannot explain how it just happened. Why? Because you are faithful at some point, God promoted you. And the next promotion depends on how you are faithful at this point. So, whatever stage you are in life, don't be tempted to begin to give up, to begin to relax and think, now everything is for you. No, it's not for you. It's not for me. It's for the glory of God. Your purpose, as we wrap up today, you know, we are talking about living a purposeful life. So, we've defined purpose to be living to please God. Is our purpose. We were created to please God. Remember we said that last week. We were created to please God. We were created to worship God. We were created to bring Him pleasure. All things and for thy pleasure, God created us to bring Him pleasure. So your purpose is number one, to please God, which means everything I do in my life, every step I take, everything I think about must please God. And God has made it so easy. It's not hidden. If I want to please Him, I should just check His word. He has defined how to please Him. He has not left us in darkness as to how we can please Him. So let's check the word of God and make sure we are following those things to detail. Living in righteousness, living in holiness, living in sanctification. That's how you please God. Living to obey Him at every time. Even when that thing doesn't look like sin, God says don't do it. It means don't do it. If God says, hey, you don't drink soda again, that's soft drink. I'm not talking about alcohol now, which is even out of conversation. I'm talking about if God says, don't drink soft drink again, it means for you, that is your own need for sanctification. You don't drink it again. It doesn't mean other people should do the same. God gives you and I different set of rules. That's nothing less than what He has already given in His word, above it. And that is why the Ten Commandments, Jesus says, hey, I've come not to abolish the law, but I've even come to give you more laws. But the only difference is now I'm empowering you to live like God. See, when you look at your children, they are not studying you to live like you every moment. No, they are not studying. They have your DNA. They are just evolving like you. They are evolving. They are just becoming what they are. They are not trying to become you. They are you already. They are just becoming another version of you. That's who they are. That DNA is just finding expression in different areas. So the same thing, when you become born again, why we really don't want to focus so much on sin again when you become born again is because your DNA is the DNA of God. The only reason you are falling into sin is because you are still a baby. And you know also that despite the fact that when a child is born, everything the child needs to be you is already in him. The ability to talk, the ability to walk, the ability to dance like you, the ability to make gestures like you. Have you seen people before? You see their children, and the children gesticulate like them, and you're like, ah, how did it even happen? DNA is just finding expression. So the same thing, when you become born again, the DNA of God is in you and I. We are just finding expression naturally. The only reason we are not expressing it yet in certain areas is because we have not matured in that area. And that is why when we fail, we just ask God to forgive us and help us to become more like Him. Not because something is wrong with us. No, it's because we have not yet matured. And that is why we need to do everything every day to fellowship with our God. And the more a child fellowships with the parents, the more the child begins to become more like the parents and even a better version. And that's why Jesus says, the works I do, greater works than this are you going to do. Why? Because the DNA of God is in you. Jesus gave you an example, and He said, if you follow after my steps, you will even do even much more. Your purpose is to please God. Number two, my purpose is to worship God. We need to really redefine what worship is. Your purpose and my purpose is to worship God, like I said. What does it mean to worship God? It's not only when you lift up hands in church and you are praising Him. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. It's when you're actually living your purpose. It's when you are living your destiny. It's when you are living your calling. Everything about you is becoming a success. And when I say success, you are not just saying money. Of course, if you are successful, you will have money. What I'm saying is, you are doing exactly what God has made you to do. Every time you rise up and walk, you are bringing worship to God. Every time you are able to talk, God has given you the ability to talk, you are bringing worship to God. Every time you obey God, you are bringing worship to God. Every time you sing to Him, you acknowledge Him, you are bringing worship to God. So don't limit it to when you are singing and praising alone. God says, A time is coming, and now is the time that the worshippers will worship him in spirit and in truth. So if he says in spirit and in truth, and you're a spirit, it's not limited to a certain time. It's every moment. Your thoughts, your actions, every time in this world that you're able to live righteously, you're bringing worship to God. You're bringing glory to God. Every time other people sin, and you're not following the multitudes to do evil, and you're standing out, you're bringing worship to God. So let's see ourselves as the embodiment of God's worship. If you want to understand this concept very well, let's look at Lucifer before he fell. God said everything about him was made to worship God. When I listened to a message by Daddy Adeboye, that message is why God created the devil. I've still been looking for it, I've not found it. And he was able to explain then that, see, God made the devil full of all wonders. Everything about him was wonders to bring worship to God. But when God was going to make you and I, he didn't make us with gold or sapphire or all these wonderful stones. He made us with clay. That's the base of all things. And he's saying, hey, I'm going to create these people, not with anything special. I'm just going to create them from the heads. But they are going to bring me glory. That despite the fact that I'm not going to make them so special like you, but they are going to bring me glory more than you. So every time you and I are not bringing God glory, every time we sin and we are following the devil, we are actually committing treason. We are saying, hey, the devil is taking the glory. That's what we are doing. But I pray that we are empowered in the name of Jesus not to fall into this plan again. Every time we sin, we are just saying, I am following the devil. The devil is better. The devil knows better. That's what we are doing. But when we flow according to God, when we do what God wants, we are bringing him worship. And we are shaming the devil. We are saying, hey, devil, woo to your face. I'm not made like you, but I am better than you. So every time you want to compromise today, every time you want to compromise and do something against God, remember, the devil is watching. Remember, you will be giving glory to the enemy every time you do those things and walk against God. And that is why we need to dedicate every part of our lives to God. Praise God. And lastly, as we close today, what does it mean to live in purpose? We've said to please God, to worship God, and lastly, to bring him pleasure. What does pleasure mean? Just imagine yourself enjoying yourself. That's pleasure. Every time you watch a movie, it's pleasure. That movie is not doing anything, but there is something in you that feels good because you're watching that movie you enjoy. That is pleasure. The same way, God created us to bring pleasure to him. And every time you live according to purpose, according to your calling, that you use your gifts and talents, we are bringing him pleasure. That is another form of worship. When you are successful in life, you have followed the principles of the Bible and you have success, you are bringing him pleasure. God is just looking at you and saying, oh man, I'm so happy that this guy is doing what I want. You're bringing him pleasure. It's a little different from worship, but it's part of worship. You're just making him happy. Every time we do what he wants, we are making him happy. Being successful is about getting the results God wants you and I to get. This is the last statement. Let's pay attention to it. Being successful is getting the results God wants us to get, using the gifts and talents that he has endowed us with. And when we say the gifts and talents, both spiritual gifts, both physical gifts, all these gifts were created for us to worship God. So when you look at the gift you have, singing, creativity, being able to memorize things, all those gifts you have, even all the skills you have, all the talents you have, the spiritual gifts, dreams, visions, revelations, all these gifts, when we have all these things and we are using them and we are getting success with them, what we are doing is this: we are actually bringing pleasure to God. God is so happy and saying, wow, this guy is pleasing me. Wow, this guy is bringing me glory. Wow, this guy is worshiping me. So worship is deeper than when we sing or when we lift hands. It also includes bringing in pleasure by fulfilling our purpose, by fulfilling our destiny, by fulfilling our calling, by fulfilling that vision that God has placed in your heart and my heart. So as we wrap up today, let's put it at the back of our minds that I have been created to bring and to have meaningful success. And meaningful success is when you and I live our lives according to purpose against on earth, that no matter what is happening around us, we will live according to purpose. We'll be able to please God. We'll be able to bring Him glory and pleasure. And when we do that, you know what? When your child pleases you, when your child does what you want, you are thinking about the best way to also bless them in return, to please them in return. That is exactly what we do. So, for you and I, let's remember that when we please God, God is looking for ways to bless us in return. Praise God. So that's the end of the episode today. And I will quickly share the scripture. There's a scripture in Exodus, two scriptures actually, the part where the Israelites were leaving Egypt and God gave them favor, and the Egyptians gave gold gifts and all that to them. That's Exodus, you can write it down, Exodus 12, 35 to 36. Said the Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and all that, and they gave it to them. But by Exodus 25, God demanded of it, every gift that God has given you, it is for you to use it at one point or the other in life. So let's not despise our gift. And remember that when we live our life according to purpose, we are pleasing God. Praise God. So let's just thank Him once again tonight. Let's thank Him and say, Father, we thank You for sending us Your word. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We give You praise. We give You all the glory. Thank You, awesome God, for sending us Your word again today. Let's ask Him that, God, help me to be conscious. I think the challenge is that most times we are not conscious of living purposefully. So let's just ask God, that, Father, help me to always be conscious and to begin to live purposefully. That no matter what happens around me, just like Paul, that even in prison was still fulfilling purpose. And now we can look back and say everything he did brought about the promotion of the kingdom of God. Father, I pray, help me, Lord, to always be conscious about living purposefully. Thank you, awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. See you next week. I remain ever blessed. In Jesus' name.
The good success.com.